Right. So we're holding at the very bottom of Kuf Beis on the days. I realized, by the way, afterwards that I left that when we were loading before on middle of the Amud, I left out a couple of lines. We were talking about the case over there of a bird that how do you have that a bird doesn't have a kazayis of meat on it total, but one particular aver of it is the size of a kazayis when you include the gidim and the atzamas. So how is such a thing possible? So we said a klonisa is like that, a squawny kind of bird. So I skipped out a couple of lines over there that the Gemara asks because I looked at it afterwards and realized that. So the Gemara had said that if you can say that it's a klonisa, the problem with that is a klonisa is a tame bird. It was a bird that was known to them to be tame, and ema sefer. And you look at the next part of the Mishnah over there, the Braise said over there, chonka b'achla, that if you strangle the bird and eat it, divra hakol b'kazayis, and everybody agrees that you'd have to eat a kazayis to be chayev because then it's dead. But klonisa is tame. Who isn't a klonisa a tame bird? But I'm a rab tmeya ben chayev ben mitzasav ben mashu. And Rab said that when it comes to a behemoth tmeya, then it doesn't matter whether it's alive or dead. Either way, the issur is mashahu. The answer is okay. In klonisa, you're right. We don't mean an actual klonisa itself. That would be a non-kosher bird. But because in other words, the point is because it's a barrier. Because as a non-kosher bird, it's tame. It's also to begin with. While it was alive, therefore it meets the definition of a barrier. So the answer is elaka in klonisa. We don't mean an actual klonisa itself, which is a tame bird, but rather we mean if you have a similar tahor bird, which is like that and being very squawny.
Squawny,
like doesn't have very much meat on its bones. Okay, so now we can get back to where we were holding at the bottom of the Amud. So we started discussing. We said Rabbi Yochanan learns from the pasuk Leisoichal Nefesh Im Abaser that you're not allowed to eat Eivim and Achai, and then from Abaser Basada Treifa Leisoichelu he learns two different dinim: one that you're not allowed to eat meat from a living animal, in other words, where it doesn't constitute a complete Eiver, just meat that came off it, and also meat from a Treifa. That was Rabbi Yochanan, and then on the other hand, Rish Lakish had said that from the first pasuk we learn Eivim and Achai and Basim and Achai. From the second one, or Basim and Atreifa, we're only learning Basim and Atreifa. So we said, therefore, that if a person were to eat Eivim and Achai as well as Basim and Achai, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, two different psukim, therefore two different malchus, according to Rish Lakish, only one, and vice versa, if he ate Basim and Achai and Basim and Atreifa, two malchus according to Rish Lakish, one according to Rabbi Yochanan. And if he ate Eivim and Achai and Basim and Atreifa, for sure, those come from two different psukim. Therefore, for sure, two different lavim and two different. If he ate Eivim and Achai and Basim and Atreifa. Okay. So the Gemara says a Rumin. We have a contradiction to what you just said. So not we're going to bring another thing that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish themselves say. The point being, in other words, obviously they're, you know, what they're saying is consistent with what they themselves are saying. But what we just said. What we, the sum of the Gemara, had just said, that in certain cases we would say that Rabbi Yochanan would say you get two malchus and Rish Lakish would say only one and vice versa, that part seems to be contradicted by the next piece that we're going to discuss, the Ruminu. Ochel Eivim and Achai min HaTreifa. Suppose there was a Treifa animal and there was a Treifa animal that hadn't been shechted yet. Somebody took an Eiver off it and ate it. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Chayev Stein, but Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omer Eine Chayev Al Achas. So Rish Lakish says he's going to be high of two malchus, and Rish Lakish says only one. So b'shlem lo Rabbi Yochanan nicha. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, I can understand why he's getting two. Because on the one hand, it's Eivim and Achai, which is one pasuk. On the other hand, it's meat from the Treifa, which is a different pasuk. So two malchus. Ela lo Rabbi Shimon Lakish kasha. But according to Rish Lakish, also it's learned from two different psukim. So why is he saying you get only one malchus for it?
Initially we said...
We had said that since he's learning from two different psukim, that one he's using for Eivim and Achai and Basim and Achai, and the other one for Basim and Atreifa, then it would mean that if he eats Eivim and Achai and he eats Basim and Atreifa, he ought to be getting two malchus. Here we're saying... Eivim and Achai and Basim and Achai, you'd only get one. But over here it's Basim from Atreifa, so he ought to be getting two. So why is Rish Lakish saying that he's getting only one?
Yeah.
The answer is... Rabbi Yosef loy kasha. So Rabbi Yosef says it's not a contradiction, it's not a problem, because kan be behema achas, kan be shtei behemas. Because it depends whether we're talking about the meat. Okay, when we said before that according to Rish Lakish you would get two malchus, versus now we're saying only one, depends whether we're talking that the Eivim and Achai and the Basar Treifa come from two different animals or from one animal. V'shtei behemes machayev shtayim. Rav Yechanan wouldn't care. He says it's learned from two psukim anyway.
Regardless,
right? But Rish Lakish would say it depends. If they come from two different animals, so yes, he ate them all. He ate them both at once, and it was one hasra. Nevertheless, the fact is you have two lavim. On the other hand, so therefore he's machayev shtayim. Therefore he's chayev two malchus. The behema achas plim. On the other hand, when it's one single animal, which was trefa, and he ate Eva and Achai from it, that's where Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are going to be having an argument. So the question is, B'mai Pligi, okay, but what's the source of their argument? If we're saying that they're both learning from two different psukim, why would Rish Lakish say that if the trefa was from one animal and the Eva and Achai was from the other, then two malchus, but if they're from the same animal, it would only be one malchus, what's the logic? The answer is like this, Omer Abai, Kavanshin Nitrofa Initias Ruba. The case we can be talking about, suppose that the animal became chafe as it was being born. So as it's coming out of the womb, it became chafe. It got some kind of injury. So therefore, like this, Mar Sovar, so now one way of looking at it is like this. As we said before, we mentioned before in connection with Machloik, we had the Machloikas of Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon about the case where a person eats a live kosher bird. Is it considered Eivim and Achai or not? Rebbe had said that not, because it's a whole bird. And Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon had said yes, because he says that normally the thing to do with a bird is to cut it up into Eivarim, and therefore it's considered as though it's already Eivarim. So here it's a similar machlokes. Mar Sova Behem B'Chayel Eivarim Emedes. Rish Lakish, or not Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan holds that an animal, even while it's alive, is intended to eventually be shechted and cut up into limbs. Therefore, v'issu trefa v'issu eva v'hadi hadodi kalsu. So therefore, the issu of trefa and of eva v'nachai come at the same time. Because usually he intends to cut it into Eivarim. So as soon as it's born, right away you have the potential issur of Eivarim and Achai, and you have the issur Terefa, because it is a Terefa. So therefore, double Malchus. And by the way, we don't have to mean, the Gemara had mentioned Shinitrofa and Yitzias Ruba. Strictly speaking, it doesn't actually have to be that it became Terefa as it was born. It could also be, as Rishonim points out, it could also be that it became Terefa in the womb. We learned previously in the fourth parak that as long as it's in the womb, according to the Yehuda, which is the halacha, then it's the mother's shchita, it makes it mutter to eat. The fact that it itself is trefa is neither here nor there. And then only once it's born, then the issur trefa comes on it. So therefore, it doesn't have to be, in other words, that as it was being born, it became trefa. It could also be that it actually had some kind of trefa defect already in the womb. But then it was born, and then again, once it's born is when the Issur Terefa kicks in. As long as it's in the womb, the Issur Terefa doesn't exist because it's considered part of its mother. Okay. Anyway, the point is, so that's Rav Yechanan would hold by way, or Mar Sova, Behemah B'chaya Alav Le'Ivarim Emedes, whereas Rish Lakish is going to take the view similar to Rebbe before, that an animal, while it's alive, is not necessarily intended eventually to be cut up into Eivarim. Right now, in other words, it, in effect, it doesn't consist of Eivarim, it's just still a whole animal. Therefore, the loy osi isur ever chayala isur trefa. Therefore, the isur, the isur of trefa already existed. The isur of Eivarim and Achai is only going to exist later not when it's born. We're talking about that it is a trefa as it's born. But when does the isur of Eivarim and Achai come? Only later on when you're intending to cut it up into Eivarim. So therefore, the isur of Eivarim and Achai is not able to be chal on top of the isur trefa. Ein isur chal al isur. So when it's two different animals, it's not ein isur chal al isur. Each one has a separate isur on it. One has an isur of trefa, one has an isur of Eivarim and Achai, so therefore separate malchus. But over here, when you're talking about it, it's already trefa, it's already osur on the grounds of a basal osur trefa, and you want to say that it should also now, once you decide to cut off a limb from it, that should also have an isur of Eivarim and Achai, Rish Lakish does nothing to it. Ein isur chal al isur. Okay, so that's one way of that's what happened. That's one way, because the door doesn't stay closed properly, so, Okay. The Iboyis Bema, or another way you can understand Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish's machlokes, the Kula Alma Behema B'chayel Lav La'Evarim Emedes, maybe everybody agrees with Rebbe's position from earlier, that an animal, while it's alive, is not by default considered a collection of Evarim, only if you actually have it in mind. So then, Umesi Isu Eva Mechala Isu Trefa Kamiflagi. Okay, so the Machloikis can be about that point, though. Is Isu Chal al Isu? Can the Isu of Eva Menachai, once you cut it off, is it Chal on top of the Isu Trefa? Mar Sover Osi Isu Eva Chayla Isu Trefa. Rishlokish, Rabbi Yochanan will say that yes, the Isu of Eva Menachai is able to be Chal on top of the Isu of Trefa. So therefore, two Malkus. Rabbi Yechanan, Omar Sovaloy, Asi Isu Eva Chayla Isu Trefa. Whereas Rish Lakish says that not, as we said before, because Ein Isu Chalal Isu. Okay, you could say Isu Chalal Isu again, if they come at the same time, or if one of them is more Chomer than the other, etc. But so far, we don't have any reason to think that's the case. They don't come at the same time, because again, we're saying Behemah B'chaya is not La'ivorim and Medes, so the concept of it being an Aver only kicks in later, when you have in mind to actually cut off the Aver, or when you actually cut it off, as the case may be. A trefer it already was from when it was born, we said.
So they don't come.
So it's not b'vachas. It's not a stronger issue because there's no greater strength to Eva Menachai than there is to trefer. According to Yehuda's Svara, we could say yes, as we talked yesterday, according to Yehuda, the fact that it's noyig by Bnei Noyach might be a reason to consider it more stringent. But we don't not Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish don't have to agree with that concept. Okay. So that's another way of explaining the machlokes. Because Iboyesema, or yet a third possibility, the Kula Alma Behemah B'Chayel Ivorim Emedes. We can say the other way around. Maybe both Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish hold, like Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, that while the animal is alive, it's already considered a collection of Ivorim. Therefore, the issue of Eivim and Achai comes first, or comes simultaneously with Trefa. But the machloikas would be a convention nitro for la'achamikan. So it would be the other way around. Up until now, we were saying the first two explanations were based on the idea that the animal was born a trefa. Now we can say the other way around. The animal wasn't born a trefa. It became a trefa later in life. So therefore, the issue of Eivim and Achai came first. Or made the issue... No, that's another way of explaining the machloikas. Or we make the issue of trefa chayla is the ever commissary. So again, machloikas can the issue of trefa be chal on top of the existing issue of Eivim and Achai? Mar Sava Osi v'chayo, Rabbi Yochanan will say yes, or Mar Sava Loi Osi v'chayo, and Rish Lakish will say no, and therefore, again, if we're talking two different animals and there's no issue to be chal on issue, each one is a separate issue, but if it's one animal, that's a reason, that's another reason for Rish Lakish maybe to say that he would only get one mark.
So the fundamental discussion is basically halal.
Well, so far, those are two of the three explanations. Again, the first explanation had nothing to do with that. The first explanation was, do we say that Behemah B'chaya is La'ivarim or not? The other two ways, do we say that Behemah B'chaya is considered La'ivarim? Do we consider that it's a collection of Eivarim from the beginning, or the thing is only considered an Eiver when it's actually cut off?
Yes,
yeah, that was the first way. The other two ways, yes, are based on the concept, do we say Isu Chal al Isu? Can the Isu of Trefa be Chal on the Isu of Eivim? Can the Isu of Eivim and Achai be Chal on the existing Isu of Trefa that existed from when the animal was born? Or vice versa, can the Isu of Trefa be Chal on the Isu of Eivim and Achai that exists from when the animal was born, if we say that Leivar Mehmedes? So those are so far three ways of explaining their machlokes. Rav Amar, Rav says here's a fourth way. Suppose that you cut off a limb from the animal, and that limb that you cut off itself made it trefa. For example, we learned in the fourth parak that if you cut off the animal's leg above a certain point, above the knee joint or the ankle joint, whatever we discussed there, exactly which joint, then it becomes trefa. So therefore, you cut off a leg above that point. So therefore, Mar Sava Behemah B'Chayel La'Ivorim Eina Emedes. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that an animal is not considered a collection of Eivorim while it's alive. The thing is only considered an Eivim and a Chai when you actually cut it off. And therefore, V'Loi Osi Isu Trefa Chayel, and therefore Isu Eva V'Isu Trefa Ba'Adi Adori Kasu. So therefore, in this case, the Isu of Eivim and a Chai and the Isu of Trefa happen at the same time because it's the cutting off of this leg that makes it a Trefa. Therefore, he's going to be chayav double malchus. Umar sover behemah b'chayel eivorim emedes. Whereas Rish Lakish is going to take the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon before that the animal is considered eivorim while it's still alive. It's already considered each eivor is considered an eivor menachai. It's already destined to be eivorim. Therefore, v'loy osi ister trefa chayel ister eivor. So the ister of eivor menachai already existed before because while the animal was alive, the ister of trefa only comes now when you cut off the leg. Good. So Rish Lakish says the Isser, they don't come at the same. If they come at the same time, sure, you would say the two Isserim come together, therefore he's Chayav. But here, the two Isserim didn't come together, therefore the one Isser is not Chal on top of the other. Okay. So those are four ways of explaining Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish's machlokes.
In practice,
I mean, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, and the Rambam paskins the case using Rava's explanation, the last explanation we had, that is Tola Shemena Eva V'Torfa Boy, then he's going to get double malchus for eating that Eva. Because the Isser of Eva Menachai and the Isser of Terefa come at the same time. Okay. So more on this topic of Eva Menachai. So the Pchir Ba'aba says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ocho Chelev Menachai Menachrefa. Suppose now, let's not talk about, suppose a person eats Chelev from a living animal that is a Trefa. Chayev Shtayim, so he's Chayev two Malchus. Now you could argue that there are three Yisurim over here. There's Eva Menachai, there's Chelev, and there's Trefa. So why is Pchir Ba'aba saying only two malchus? That we're going to deal with in a minute. Why he would say that?
Does he necessarily have to say it's chelev?
Well, that's the case we're talking about. Ocho chelev menachai menachrefa chayev shtayim. We're talking about a case of chelev. Now, chelev menachai menachrefa. Now, the real question is that does chelev constitute an eva menachai? We discussed before the idea that maybe an eva has to be a complete thing. Boss of a gidim ba'atzomai. So the Rambam actually learns that yes, chelev by itself would be enough to be considered an aver. Would be enough to be considered an aver. It's a significant enough piece to be considered an aver. Some of the other Rishonim disagree with that, and they say the case we would have to be talking about over here is, let's say, for example, that he took out a kidney from the animal with the layer of fat surrounding it, as we learned before, that the kidney has a layer of fat surrounding it, which is chelev, which is also, and he ate the whole thing. That for sure can be considered an aver.
What's the difference?
Because the difference is a kidney is an actual aver, it's an actual organ of the body. That's fine, but the point is he ate the kidney with the fat, so the kidney itself constitutes an aver.
If he eats the fat surrounding the kidney without the kidney.
Arguably, according to those who are showing him, it wouldn't be considered aver menachai, it would only be considered boss of menachai. Yeah. Okay, so that's the point. So we're saying over here that he ate chelev menachai menachrefa. On the face of it, there should be an iser of aver menachai. Again, either because we're talking about he ate the chelev together with the aver it was attached to, such as the kidney, or because chelev by itself can be considered an aver. Plus it was menachai, plus it was menachrefa. So you would think he should be chayev three malchus, and yet Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba is telling us he's chayev only two. Amalei Rav Ami v'leim mar sholosh. So Rav Ami says to Rav Chiya Ba'aba, why don't you say that he's chayev three? And in fact, Shani Omer Sholish, in fact, I say over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that he's chayev, that he's chayev three malchus. So according to Rav Ami, he should be chayev three. And in fact, Itmar Nami, in fact, they said also, it's not only Rav Ami, that Amr Rav Abo, Amr Rav Yechanan, also Chelev Menachai Menachreif, Chayev Shalosh, Rav Abo says the same thing, in the name of Rav Yechanan, that if he gets that he would get three malchus in this case, one for Chelev, one for Eve Menachai, and one for Treif.
So what did he say?
So why does he say two? So what is the machlokes between Rav Chiya Ba'aba versus Rav Ami and Rav Abo? The case is, because Nitrofa Inisias Ruba. The case would be, suppose that the animal, as we said before, suppose the animal became Trefa as it was born. Most of it came out of the womb. Again, we discussed before that either the animal's head comes out and it's considered born, or if it's born, or the majority of the body, if it's not born head first. But yeah. So whatever it is, at the point when it's considered born lahalacha, it became Trefa. Manda Omar Sholosh, so Rav Ami and Rav Abahu, who say he's chayev three malchus, they take the view. Again, behemah b'chayel evarim and medes. The animal was considered already to be a collection of evarim while it's alive, because usually that's what you do with it, is you check it. And this marasava is Rav Ami and Rav Abahu. Yeah. So therefore, so the animal was already considered evarim. The isu chela, the isu eva, the isu trefa b'hadi hadoni kasu. So all three isurim kick in at the same moment when it's born. Before that, the chelev of it was mutter, because kol ba'behema techelu, and in the mother animal is mutter. As a trefa, it wasn't yet trefa in the womb, let's say, or even if it was, it wouldn't really matter. and called the behemoth echelu, which that means that anything that you find in the mother animal, any baby that you find inside the mother animal, you can eat without shchita, and the chelav of it is and the chelav of it is also mutter. So the issue of chelav only kicks in when it's born. The issue of treifa only kicks in when it became a treifa, which is also when it's born. Eivim and achai, same thing. Therefore, three malchus. So therefore, three, because all three things happen at the same time. Umanda Omashtayim, whereas Rav Chiya bar Abba, who had said that he's chayiv only two malchus, he holds that the animal is not considered a vorim while it's alive. Therefore, so Isu Treifa and Isu Chaylev, sure, those came into existence when it was born. But Eiv Menachai didn't yet. Eiv Menachai only comes about when he actually cuts it off. Therefore, the Isu Chaylev, the Isu Treifa Ikka, so Chaylev and Treifa exist when the animal is born, Isu Eivra lo Yossi Chayel, and therefore the Isu of Eiv Menachai is not able to be Chal on top of those. Because in this case, we would say Eini Isu Chal al Isu.
That is true.
So the only two.
It has to be that it doesn't come together and there's no issue.
And then they say, right. The Iboi Sema, or another way you could explain the Machlokas, the Kula'am of Behemim Chayel Lav La'Evarim Emedes, we could say that all three Amiroyim agree that an animal is not La'Evarim Emedes, Rebbe Chita before.
Potentially.
And it's not considered a Evarim until the Eva is actually cut off. Over Macy, Isu Eva, Vachayla, Isu Chayla, the Isu Tereh for Kamifagi. So therefore, the Machlokas will be, can the Isu of Eva and Achai come on top of the existing issue of chaylev and treifa? Mar sova osi chayl, mar sova loy osi chayl. So Rav Ami and Rav Abohu will say that it can. Therefore, osi chayl is able to. It comes in a chayl. Or mar sova loy osi chayl. Chayl means chayl. And Rav Chiya bar Abba would say that it does not. And therefore, you're left with only two. So they would hold Isu Chalal Isu in general. He would say Isu Chalal Isu only under certain circumstances, if at all. And this isn't one of them. The Iboy Samad Kul, and again, just like we explained before with Rabbi Yechanan and Shlokish, the Iboy Samad Kula Alma Behemim Chayel Evarim Emedes. Another possibility is that everybody agrees that the animal is considered Evarim while it's alive. So this Aver is potentially Evarim and Achai all along. And the case is, if we mentioned Nitra Fula Achamikan, the case would be, again, not like we said, not like we've been saying all this time that it was already Treifa from when it was born, but rather it became Treifa only at some later point. And therefore, it's the other way around. Or Macy, Isu Treva, Mechala, Treva, Mechala, Isu Eva, Kamifagi. So the Machloikas will be, can the Isu of Treva be Chal on top of the other? Yeah. Mar Sav Osi Chayel, so Rav Ami and Rav Bohu will say it is able to be Chal. And the logic, they say, why should Treva be able to be Chal on top of Eva Menachai? On the face of it, what is stronger about Treva that you should argue that it should be able to be chal on top of the other ones? On the face of it, treifa doesn't add anything to Eivim and Achai and to Chaylev. The answer is, so midi dehavi achaylev, because he would say it's exactly like the situation of Chaylev itself. Just like we know that even when you have an existing Isu Chaylev, nevertheless, when an animal becomes treifa, you have a second Isu that's chal on top of the Chaylev. And we know that from a pasuk, because we're going to explain now. So the Omer Mar, because we learn in a Braisa, not a Braisa, actually Rava says it in Zvachim, HaTorah Omer Yavah Isu Nevela Yochol Al Isu Chaylev, the Yavah Isu Treifa Yochol Al Isu Chaylev, like this. You have a positive in Parshas Vayikra that mentions you're not allowed to eat Chaylev. Then in Parshas Tzav, the Torah repeats it, Kol Chaylev Shor V'Ketzev V'Oez V'Isu Chaylev, and then it says Chaylev of a Nevela and Chaylev of a Treifa, you're allowed to have hanah from it. You're allowed to use it for any kind of work, but you're not allowed to eat it. Now, why does it need to add you're not allowed to eat it? Obviously, if you're not allowed to eat chaylev, why would you think you're allowed to eat chaylev from a nevela or a treif? So Rava says that what the Torah is implying by that is that the Torah is telling you when this animal is a nevela or a treifa. Now, remember, the chaylev was also from when the animal was born. So you would think now ein isu chalal. So therefore, once the chaylev is already also to eat on the grounds of that chaylev, then you can't have another isur bichal on top of it. No, the Torah is telling you, once the animal becomes a nevela or becomes a treifa, then you have an additional isur on top of this chaylev. And therefore, if a person were to eat that chaylev, he would be chayav double malchus. one for Chalev and one for Nevelo retreat.
From the Pasuk?
From the Pasuk, because the Pasuk is saying, V'ocho lo yitzichlu. Because the Pasuk is repeating the concept that you can't eat the Chalev of a Nevelo retreat.
On Nevelo.
On Chalev of a Nevelo and Trefa. So that's the point, that the Isu Nevelo or Isu Trefa is able to be Chal on top of the Isu Chalev, even though the Isu Chalev existed first. So therefore, so Rav Ami and Rav Abohu are going to say the same logic, that the same logic, you have already the existing issue of Eva Menachai, because according to them, Behemah B'chayeh Evorim Emedes, it is destined to become Evorim, and you have the issue of Chalev, obviously, because the Chalev of it is also as soon as it's born. Nevertheless, by the same logic, the issue of Trefa is able to come and be Chal on this Chalev, just like it would be in the regular case. We have an animal that's a Trefa. Yeah, basically. Ve'idach, and so what would Rav Chiya Ba'aba answer to that? He would say like this: Achelav hu dechayev or dechayil. Really, you know why the isu nevela or treifa in this case we're talking about? You know why that's able to be chal on top of the isu of chelav? The reason is because chelav has something special about it. Yehuta miklali. Because you have an exception to the rule. You have normally Chalev is Osir, but you have the Torah itself makes an exception to Chalev, namely by Achaya. Chalev of Achaya is Mutter. Therefore, you can argue that Chalev has a certain leniency to it. Therefore, there's room for Issu Nevelo or Issu Trefer to be Chal on top of it. Avol Aver. But when it comes to Eva and Asai, Deloy Hutra Mikwalo, there's no exception to it. You never have any exception to Eva and Asai. Right. So therefore, not necessarily would we say that the issue of Trefa is able to be Chal on top of Eva and Asai. So for it to be Chal, if it was only Chalev, if we didn't have the Eva and Asai issue, then sure, then the issue of Trefa would be Chal on it, because they agree with Rav's Drasha. But once you have here in the mix Eivim and Achai as well, then that's different. Once you have Eivim and Achai, then Trefa, the fact that later on the animal becomes Trefa, is not able to come on top of that and be Machayiv in the third Malchus.
And that's because?
Because you just said why. Because Eivim and Achai, there's no exception to. Therefore, it's a stronger Issur. Therefore, there's no room for another Issur to come on top of it. Whereas Chalev is a weaker Issur, because we see that there's a Heter for it, because you're allowed to eat Chalev of Achai. So that is why Rav Chiya Ba'aba is going to say that in this case, where the animal, again, the animal was born healthy, it was born not today, so it's the last scenario, it was the last explanation we're saying over here, it was born healthy, there was no, the chelav of it is also right on the spot. Every limb of it is considered Evim and Achai, potentially, because Behemah, so at the moment it's born, you have two Isurim, that later on, when it becomes Treif, that you should, when it becomes a Treifa, that you should say that a third Isur is going to be Chal. Rav Chiya Ba'aba says it can't, because already you have a strong Isur of Evim and Achai in it, so there's no room for the Isur of Treifa. Whereas Rav Ami, we just said, because Chalev has an exception, and because Chalev... That's the logic. In other words, Chalev being a weaker Isser, therefore a stronger Isser is able to be Chal on it. Eivim and Achai itself is a stronger Isser, therefore it can't. Whereas Rav Ami and Rav Abahu are going to say there's no difference. Just like another Isser is able to be Chal on top of Chalev, so here it's also able to be Chal on top of Chalev, even where it's in combination with something else. The halacha is indeed like Rav Ami and Rav Abahu, for one thing, because it's two against one. So you have two Amiroyim against the one Rav Chiya Ba'aba.
That he can.
That therefore he'd be chayav. Therefore he'd be chayav 3 malchus. Okay. All right. Another topic, still on Eivim and Achai, but a new discussion. He offered of Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported as follows: Bominate of Shim and Lakish men of Yechanan. That Rish Lakish had asked Rav Yechanan the following question: All this time we've been talking about Eivim and Achai. We've been talking about that a person has to eat a kezias of Eivim and Achai in order to be chayav. We said it doesn't have to be that the entire kezias consists of meat. It can be some part of it is meat and the rest is gidim and then bones. Nevertheless, as long as in aggregate the aver is a kezias and chayim. The question would be, what would happen if the person broke apart this aver and achai into two pieces before he put it in his mouth? So he ate the one half and then he ate the other half. Mahu, what would be the din? Would it be, do we say it's like any other Isser, where as long as he ate it, achilas pras, then he's chayev? Or maybe, in this case, maybe it's a unique case over here with Eivim and Achai, because normally a person is not chayev for eating gidim and asamos, and over here he is, they combine towards the kezias. But maybe by the same logic, we could say, therefore, that Fine, but it's a chiddush over here, so therefore it's enough of a chiddush to say that you eat the giddim and atzomis and they count toward the kazayis, where normally they wouldn't. You're not going to also say that when he broke it into two beforehand, that he should also be chayav for that. He would have to eat it all at once. So do we say that? Okay, that's how Rashi learns that's how Rashi learns the question over here. Tosfos discusses that they have based on the next piece where the Gemara asks on the Shlokish, how is it possible according to him that a person is ever chayev? So Tosfos learns a little bit differently. The question would be chilka v'machut. Would be even if he ate them both together, not like Rashi where he ate one and then he ate the other half. Chokem machutz would mean he broke the Avim and Achai into two pieces, but then he put them both in his mouth at the same time. Mm-hmm. What would be the deal? That's the point of Tosfos. Okay. Anyway, Omalei Potter. So Rabbi Yechanan tells him, yes, in fact, he'd be Potter, precisely because Ein L'chaboy El Chidush. It's enough of a Chidush to say that you should be Chayev on Avim and Achai when there's not a whole Kazayas of meat over there. We're not going to go so far as to say that when it's broken into two pieces, and according to Rashi that you ate one after the other, or according to Tosfos, even you ate them both at once, you're going to be Chayev. We're not going to do that.
If you said that, you could say if you break it at three and then.
Obviously, once we say two, it means two or more. I mean, in other words, if you don't have a full kazayas, if you don't have a full kazayas as one piece, what about midufnimai? What about the Shlokish continues to ask? What about if it was broken into two or more pieces inside, which inside the mouth? The Rashi says that. Let's say, Rashi, who follows the shita that we're talking about, so he ate one after the other. So let's say, for example, so Rashi would learn, let's say he originally put the whole kazayas into his mouth together, but then he swallowed one half of it and then swallowed the other half. What would be the din? According to Tosfos, what we're talking about, chilka mibufnim, Rabbi Yochanan would say he was potter if he broke it up before he put it in his mouth, but what happens if he put it in his mouth together and then chewed it and it came into smaller pieces, would we say now that it became smaller pieces, would we say that he's chayav? Well, the paksha is only one, but it's either one or zero. One if we say he's chayav for Eivim and Achai, zero if not, because there's not a full kazayas together. Omele chayav. So Rabbi Yochanan tells him in that case he'll be chayav. So again, if he swallowed one half and then the other according to Rashi, or if he chewed it and it broke up into pieces in his mouth according to Tosfos. Okay. He also Robin Amma, when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported it a little bit differently. So Rav Gimi had said that in the first case, Chilkoi Mabachot, Rabbi Yochanan had said definitely Potter. And in the second case, Rabbi Yochanan had told him Chayav, and according to Rav Gimi's version, apparently Rish Lakish accepted that. Now, according to Robin's version, it's a little bit different. Chilkoi mimachos potter. If he broke it up outside his mouth, then everybody would agree he's potter. Fine, that part is the same as Rav Gimi. Mibifnim, if he broke it up inside his mouth, or as he was swallowing it, according to Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan, it's not that Rabbi Yochanan said something and Rish Lakish accepted it. Rabbi Yochanan, I'm a chayev, but Rish Lakish, I'm a potter. Actually, Rabbi Yochanan would indeed say it's chayev, which is like Rav Gimi said, but Rish Lakish would say that he's potter. Rish Lakish disagrees with this answer of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, I'm a chayev. Rabbi Yochanan would say he's chayev for Avim and Achai, because after all, Harei Nena Groni B'Kazayis. Because after all, his throat had enough from a full kazayas, because he swallowed one kazayas and then swallowed the other, and therefore, as long as it was whole outside his mouth, then it's still he's still chayav. But a shlokish, I'm a potter, whereas a shlokish would say he's potter, achila b'meyav b'inin v'lecha, because a shlokish would say that you have to have, when it gets into his stomach, it has to still be a shir achila. So again, normally with most Yisurim, we wouldn't say that. Most Yisurim, we would say is kazayas the kazayas. But over here, again, when we're saying that Avim and Achai has this unusual feature that Gidim and Achsomas count towards the Kazayas, which we don't find anywhere else, then Rish Lakish would say it has to come into his stomach as still an intact Kazayas.
Which is not the case when
Chilka Mibifnim, even if he chewed it up in his mouth, so even if he swallowed it half at one time and half the other, yeah. Okay, so the question is, Elul Rav Shimon Lakish, Eifam Ashkafa Fodim Achayas. How do you ever have a corn to a shlokish that you're going to be chayev for? You don't swallow the whole thing together. That's according to Rashi. This is one of the problems that Tosfos has with Rashi. What do you mean? Of course you can swallow a kazayas at a time. A person can swallow up to a kabeza at a time, which is much bigger than a kazayas. You have different opinions among the shonim whether a kabeza is two kazayas or three. You actually have Tosfos actually bring
kabeza is like an egg, right?
Yeah. But the zaysim are not necessarily the kind of olives that you necessarily find in jars nowadays. Yeah, you have quite a bit of machlokas with shonim and achronim, what size olives we're talking about. Yeah. So in general, in halacha, we usually say kazayas is either a half or a third of an egg. But anyway, Tosfos mentioned, Tosfos brings from something in Krisus that says that the Beis Ablia holds not more than two kazayasim, but two kazayasim it can hold. So what do you mean the person couldn't swallow the whole kazayas at once? Why is the Gemara asking how could it be possible according to Rish Lakish? So the answer is, so the Gemara says that the fact of the matter is, derech achila, the normal way of eating is to chew things, and therefore, so normally a person is chewing, so yes, conceivably he could swallow the whole kazayas whole, but normally people don't do that, so then according to Rish Lakish, how is he ever chayav? The answer is, Amar Rav Kahana, begum misa ze'irta. So the answer is, Rav Kahana would say, you can have, if he eats a small bone, Rashi describes it as a small bone by the kappa. Grumissa means bone. Grumissa is grumma, means a bone, and garma, whatever, means bone. Grumissa means the little bone. Ze'irta also means small. So Rashi describes it as a little bone near the kappa yerech, near the thigh muscle that we discussed earlier in the Perek. It has a little bit of basar and gidim and asama. It has a little bit of basar on it. Gidim and asama make up the rest of the kazayas. That kind of thing, because it's mostly bones and gidim, people don't chew it. They just swallow it whole. I don't know. Rashi just says esem cut and shal kappa yerach. It's possible that Rashi means the kneecap. It's very possible that Rashi means the kneecap. Animals have a kneecap. It's small enough. It depends on the size of the animal. In a person, it's larger. In a large animal, it's larger. In a small animal, obviously, it's going to be proportionately smaller. But it is there. I'm a knee joint, same as we have a knee joint. The difference is, again, with most animals, usually hidden inside the body. There is meat on it. There is gidim, but most of it is gidim and asamos, the tendons that hold it, or that hold it together with the rest of the bones over there. So that kind of thing. A person's not going to chew, since it's mostly gidim and asamos anyway. He's just going to swallow it whole. So according to the Shlokish, there's a scenario where he would be chayav for Eivim and Achayim, because you don't usually chew it. Again, depends on the size of the animal. If we're talking about a sheep, if we're talking about a small young sheep or a young goat, yes, it could conceivably be. Okay. There is, by the way, a little bit of discussion about this among the Achronim. The Torah Chaim wants to say that eating without swallowing is not really considered derech achila. And the Noda Yehuda asks on him from our Gemara over here, where we see that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he's truly chayev, and even according to Rish Lakish, we're saying that he'd be chayev if he swallowed it. Okay. The halacha is that swallowing without chewing is considered derech achila. Although with that said, there is it's brought the Noitzer Kalim on Shulchan Aruch and in Hilchos Pesach talk about when it comes to eating matzah and maror, whether you should be chewing them before you swallow them, and whether you should. Masi, yes, but maror, not necessarily. Conceivably, you could eat a kazayas and maror whole, but yeah, it's still, yeah, still better to chew it. Okay. All right, so far we have two opinions. We have Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. We said that Rabbi Yochanan would say that he's chayav if chilkoim b'snim, but he's potter if chilkoim b'chutz, and Rish Lakish would say he's potter either way. Now a third opinion, Rabbi Lazar on achil of chilkoim b'chutz nami chayav. Rabbi Lazar disagrees with both of them on chilkoim b'chutz, even if he divided up the evim and achai outside his mouth and ate one piece and then the other, according to Rashi, or he put them in his mouth at the same time, according to Tosfos. Nevertheless, he'd still be chayim. Because Rebbe Lazar says, Mechusa kriba lav to Mechusa ma'isa dami. Yes, it's true that the two pieces are separated a little bit. That's not considered that if Mechusa ma'isa, it's not considered as though an action is lacking. You can't consider it that he only ate half a kazayas and then another half a kazayas. He ate a full kazayas, even though it was one piece after the other. It was kosher to dibur, and therefore Rebbe Lazar says he's going to be chayim. So he's chayev for eating Eivim and Achai. Well, he's chayev one Malkus for eating a Kazayas, and he's for eating an Eivim and Achai, which is the father of a Kazayas. So three opinions on that. The halacha is the Rambam passes like Rabbi Elazar that either way, whether chukim mufnim or chukim machutz, as long as he ate it toast a bit, the shleach of aspras, then he's chayav. Okay. Another point about Avram and Achai. Amr of Shimon Lakish, kezayis sh'amru. This that we say that a person is chayav when he eats a kezayis. And this part isn't necessarily talking only about Avim and Achai. This one conceivably could be talking about other Isurei Achila as well. And most Isurei Achila, a person is Chayiv, he's a Kezayis. So Rosh Lakish says, Kezayis Sh'omru Chutz Mi B'Shal Ben Ashinayim. The Kezayis is besides for what gets stuck between his teeth. And actually, it's not... What do you mean? We don't mean the whole kezayis. In other words, if a person eats kezayis of isur, and some of it gets stuck within his teeth, then he won't be chayav because he not even a kezayis went down his throat. And by the way, this is also negeya, not only as far as the suri achila, it's also negeya to the mitzvahs when you have to eat. When we have the only mitzvah nowadays that we have to eat is matzah and rabbanon maror. So the same thing, the part that gets stuck between your teeth doesn't count towards the kezayis.
So you have to make sure that you have
a little more than a kezayis, enough that even though some of it gets stuck between your teeth, you're still going to end up swallowing the kezayis.
Take it away from your teeth, would that count?
I guess if you prick it out from between your teeth and swallow it, yeah, I guess as long as the echel is fast, yeah. Oh.
Can you pick your teeth on the yom tov?
Not if they're going to bleed. So if you have good gum health, if you have good dental health, and you're not going to bleed, then yeah. Rabbi Yochanan Omar af im bein ashinayim. Rabbi Yochanan says that no, even what's between the teeth also counts.
Yeah.
So let's clarify that. Omar apapa b'shal ben shinayim dekula amalei tzligi. No, what's stuck between the teeth actually, everybody agrees, does not count toward the kezayis. Even Rabbi Yochanan is going to agree. Because, okay, we said before in connection with the case of chilkoi b'chutz and chilkoi b'fnim, we said that Rabbi Yochanan looks at the fact that his throat had hanah from a kezayis. And Rosh Lakish looks at the fact that you have to have a kezayis come into his stomach together. But over here, what gets stuck between his teeth is neither here nor there. It's not the throat, not the stomach. Therefore, even Rabbi Yochanan is going to agree that doesn't count. Ki pligi ben achanichayim. The machlokes is what gets stuck between the chanichayim. Now, what is chanichayim? Rashi translates chanichayim as his palate, the roof of his mouth. So you have, therefore, his throat basically had hanah from it. Okay, it didn't actually go all the way down to the point where he swallows, to his pharynx, but nevertheless, it's close enough over there, you know, the juice of it trickles down or whatever, so he had hanah from it. But on the other hand, his me'ayim, his stomach doesn't have hanah from it, because it doesn't really get down that far. Rabbeinu Gershom talks about over here he also says ben achanichayim means the palate. You have some other rishonim alone that ben achanichayim means like more like between the tonsils or something, like further down, you know, pretty close to the base ablia, although not actually in it. Anyway, so what gets stuck over there? So that's the machlokes. Yeah, mar sova harinena grona b'kazayis. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, after all, his throat had hanah from a full kazayis, even though it didn't wind up in his stomach. Well, mar sova achilu meyav be'inen. Whereas Rosh Lakish is going to say that no, it has to have actually landed in his stomach. Okay. Another machlokes. Yeah.
It has to be landing on the stomach, or it has to be swallowed.
Well, achilu b'meyav, it has to actually be in his stomach. And only then is he chayim. So Rosh Lakish is going to say that the part that got stuck, Bein HaChanichayim, he's going to be potter. Boys, we're trying to learn Torah over here. If you want to have conversations, there's plenty of other places to do so. Thank you. Okay. Another thing. Amr Rab Asi, Amr Rab Yechanan. Ocho Chatzi Zayis. Suppose a person ate a half a kezayis of something other, the hekiyoi, then he threw it up. Then he ate another half of his ayis of the same kind of iter. Chayev, then he's chayev. My time harinena grunim b'kazayis. Because again, Rabbi Yochanan says the main thing is that his throat had hana from a kazayis, and here his throat had the hana from two half kazayis. Well, so actually Rashi mentions that Rashi says that Rav Asi of necessity must argue with the version of Rabbi Yochanan that we said before, that Rabbi Yochanan had said chilkei machutz potter, because here you don't have, it's not here it's chilkei machutz, it's half of his eyes and then half of his eyes. So Rashi is saying that Rav Asi would necessarily. We'd have two different versions of what Rav Yochanan had said. We had Rav Dimi and Robin who said Chilkin Machos that Rav Yochanan would say Potter, and Rav Asi would be disagreeing with that and say that no, Rav Yochanan would say like Rav Elazar that he's Chayav. The Ramban and Marashal say not necessarily. It could be before we were talking about Avram and Achai. Here we're talking about other Isurim. So other Isurim, you don't have that concept that Ein L'chaboy El Chidush, right? That's a Chidush, and therefore we don't learn, therefore we don't apply any more than the basic Chidush that applies to it. No, here we're talking about other Isurim, so therefore we could say that Rabbi Yochanan would agree with other Isurim that if you divided them up, as long as you ate them B'chdeach, it was perhaps you'd be Chayav. Okay. So therefore, yes, the bottom line is his throat had hana from a full kazayis, even though it was one after the other. It doesn't matter as long as it was b'chadachal esprat. Yeah, as long as it went down his throat, then that's enough. It's considered still b'chadachal esprat, and therefore, yes. Rish Lakish would say that not, because Rish Lakish looks at his stomach. His stomach only wound up with half a kazayis, because he threw up the first one. But Rabbi Yochanan would say that doesn't matter. Well, that's what we said before, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, we said, what stays between the teeth for sure doesn't count. What stays stuck to the palate or between the tonsils or whatever, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say counts because it's by the Goron, and Rish Lakish is going to say that. Okay. Bar Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Asi. So now Rabbi Elazar asks Rabbi Asi as follows. What if a person eats a half a kezayis of something other? Then he threw it up. And then he ate that same half a kezayis. What would be the din? So the previous case that Abasi was talking about is that he ate a half a kezayis, threw it up, and then took a different half kezayis and ate it. Here we're talking about he took the same half kezayis that he regurgitated and ate it again.
Do they accumulate?
That's the question. So the question is, my common body, like, what is your Belazar asking? E have it equal, Eloi have it equal. Are you asking the question, is it considered when he swallowed it, is it considered as though it's already digested, and therefore when he eats it later on, it's not really considered food, and therefore he shouldn't be chayav for it? In that case, if he boiled a kezayis, why is he asking about such a case? Let him ask a more straightforward case. If he ate a kezayis, and then threw it up and ate the same kezayis again, if he chayav one malchus or two. Why Dafka ask the question about half a kezayis and then another half and then the same half kezayis, whether they combine? Ella ibos a groina as linen, ibos a mayav as linen. Are you asking the question, is Rav Elazar asking the question, do we go according to his throat having hana? Do we say, in other words, definitely it's not considered digested, so it is still considered edible food? And in fact, earlier in the Masechta, we talk about conceivably where a person might eat something, and then you give it to somebody else who doesn't know that it was already eaten or whatever. So here, let's say he himself, okay, he knows he ate it, but still, he might be willing to eat it again, whatever.
Well, he's another second time.
Apparently, it's still on the taste. But again, we don't mean that it was completely digested in his stomach. If it's not Roy Lachelus Kelev, there's nothing to talk about. We're talking about still Roy Lachelus Kelev. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, is Rav Elazar asking the question, and we go according to the Anah that his throat had from eating it the second time, because it's still considered edible food, or do we go according to his stomach? We don't need to ask with Tifshut Leimid Rav Asi. We should be able to answer it on the basis of Rav Asi's statement from before, that he said before that we go according to his throat, that therefore he said that if you eat a half a kezayis and threw it up, and then eat a different half kezayis, then you're chayav, because your throat had a total hana from a kezayis. So why would we need to ask the question again, with the same kezayis twice,
if it's the same piece?
No. The answer is Rav Asi Gemore Iakale. What happened is the Rav Elazar knew the answer, but the reason why he was asking Rav Asi is because both of them, Rav Elazar and Rav Asi together, had heard from Rav Yochanan that even if the person eats the same piece twice, he eats it, throws it up, and eats it again, and it's a half of kezayis, he's going to be chayav. But now what happened is that. Now Rav Elazar heard Rav Asi saying a different case where it's a second piece of a half a kezayis. So he realized that Rav Asi must have forgotten the din that they learned together from Rav Yochanan. Otherwise, he doesn't have to mention a different case where it's a separate piece. He would be mentioning the less obvious case where it's the same piece. So obviously, therefore, he realized that Rav Asi forgot what he had learned. But also Rav Elazar learned Kuri. So therefore, Rav Elazar doesn't want to directly tell him, you forgot. So he, so out of covet for him, he asks him in a way to try and remind him of what he himself had learned. Therefore, v'hachi karmavai. So he's asking him like this. You were saying a minute ago that, that if a person eats half a kazayas, throws it up, and then eats a different half a kazayas, it's chayev. So Rabbi Lazar is asking him, Lomali chatzi zayas achar. Why do you need to mention a different half, a separate half of kazayas?
Same question with a difference.
Well, right, which is a different case which is a different case, and one where there's less of a chiddush. Because yeah, of course he had a hanach gorin of a four kazayas. So why are you mentioning that case? Lema ma'abidi day. Why don't you talk about the case where he ate the same half of kazayas again? The ikal mishma minei tarki, which then there would be a bigger chiddush because we can learn two different dinim from it. Number one, shaminin minei delai havi ikal. Number one, we would learn that the piece that he ate and then threw up is not considered to be digested yet. It's still considered to be food. It's still considered edible. And number two, number two, the second chiddush would be that we do say that he had hana of his throat of a total kazayas. In other words, the case that Yudav Asi mentioned, where he ate one kazayas, a half a kazayas, threw it up and ate a different half a kazayas. Sure, you can learn from it hana of Goren, not like Rosh Lakish, but we can't learn from that whether the piece that he ate and then threw up is still considered edible or not. If you mention the case where it's the same piece again, then we'd have two chiddushim from it. So he's asking Rav Asi, why don't you mention that case? He doesn't want to directly tell him, you know, we learned about that case from Rabbi Yochanan. So he's asking him in such a way that maybe he himself will realize, oh yeah, I learned from Rabbi Yochanan that in that case also.
So we would have two chiddushim.
If Rav Asi had mentioned the case that they had learned from Rabbi Yochanan, then we would have two chiddushim. So Rav Elazar, rather than telling him outright, you've forgotten that din we learned from Rabbi Yochanan, he asks him why you mentioned the case where we can only learn one din from it, instead mention the case where we can learn two din from it. Ishtik, like I'm a lively nitty. However, Rav Asi was quiet and he didn't answer him anything. He still didn't remember what he had learned from Rabbi Yochanan on the subject. So now Rav Elazar had no choice. Omale, he says to him, Moifet Adur, the wonder of the generation, and actually translates Gadol Adur, the great person of the generation. It Loi Zimnin Sagi and Amrit Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Haven't there been many times when you talked about this concept in front of Rabbi Yochanan or Rebbe, but Amalach, and he told you that even in that case, that would he be chayv with the same piece twice? But Amalach, and he says yes. Ultimately, his throat had hanah from a full kazayis, even though it's the same half kazayis thrown up and then eaten again. So therefore, in other words, now Rabbi Elazar had no choice but to tell Rabbi Asi, you should remember that we learned this from Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore you should be saying the din that way. We're not just because we have two chiddushim from it, but because we ourselves learned from Rabbi Yochanan that in fact is the din.
History doesn't make the answer.
That's it. Well, now, okay, Rabbi Asi realized that he had forgotten, I guess. Hadran alach gida nasha. I guess it's a little appropriate. One of the meanings of nasha is forgotten. Like kinashani alekinas kalamali. Yosef says that he named nasha that because Hashem made me forget all of my trouble and everything. So I guess it's somewhat appropriate that we end off peregida nasha. I guess in that sense, yeah, it's appropriate that we end off peregida nasha with a case of Rav Asi forgetting again. Yeah. Maybe that's why the Gemara put it like that. All right. Hadron alach gida nasha. All right. So now we're going to get to this next perek is going to talk about the dinim of basa b'chalav. We know the Torah tells us three times, like the vashel di b'chalav imoy, once in Mishpatim, once in Kisisa, once in Re'e. We'll learn in the Perek why it's said three times, and we're going to learn all of the ins and outs of it. One thing we're not going to learn is the reason for it. We know that basa b'chalav is one of the classic cases of a choit in the Torah, although with that said, you have different explanations, you have different possible explanations based on different streams of pshat, remez, drush, soid. It is a big topic, but ultimately it's a choik. So yeah, but we're going to talk about all the dinim of it. What's also Jaraisa and what Rabbanon, and what kind of creatures does it apply to, and what happens when they do get mixed, and therefore, so yeah, our perek is also going to have more later, is also going to have more on Hilchos Tarubos that we had in the previous perek, some of it. We're going to have more in this perek. In the middle. We're going to talk about cases where milk falls into a meat pot, and vice versa. So yeah. All right. So, the Mishnah says, Kola Boso also the Vashel B'chalav, any kind of meat, you're not allowed to cook with milk. Now, you have to realize, Rashi points out, the expression is Lois Vashel Gdi B'chalav Imoy. On the surface, you would think that Gdi means a young goat. So maybe only goats are also as basa b'chalav. Maybe other animals should be mutter. We'll learn later on in the Gemara how it is that we learn that it applies to other species as well. We'll talk about which ones are daraisa, which ones are derabanan. Everybody agrees, all domestic animals is daraisa. To machlokas whether it applies to wild animals daraisa or not. But we'll talk about how we get that from the word gedi. How does the word gedi come to mean, for example, cattle and sheep and other things other than goats? Yeah. With that said, I mean, you have, for example, I think the Rambam talks about, maybe some other Rishonim talk about also, that there used to be, the Rambam B'chlal holds in Mor Nevuchim, especially that many mitzvahs in the Torah, especially a lot of the Chukim, are given because they used to be pagan practices that the Torah wants to get us away from. And so one of them is, that one idea is, I don't remember if he says it or some other Rishonim say it, that the Goyim would make a thing of taking a young goat and cooking it and then cooking it in its mother's milk as a fertility ritual or some such thing. So therefore the Torah tells us not, but it doesn't only apply to that. The Torah just phrases it that way because that was the Goyish ritual that the Torah wants to keep us away from. Okay, but in practice, Gedi means other things as well, and we'll see in the Gemara how it comes about to be that. Okay. So anyway, you're not allowed to cook any meat with milk, except for the meat of fish and of locusts. Right. Well, so Bachalev Ima means his mother's milk. So that's the Gemara. We're also going to discuss later on in the Gemara. We're going to start at the beginning of the Gemara over here, and then we're going to deal with later on in the Perek. Or what about birds? What about chicken, for example? Is it also daraisa to cook in milk, or is it only also derabanan, or maybe even is it mutter? Because not so much because it's not gedi, but because it's not Chalev Ima. There's no mother's milk. Birds don't give milk. That's one of the things we're going to discuss in the panel. But dogim and chagavim are definitely out. You're allowed to cook fish or chagavim with milk. Although with that said, it does mention in Shulchan Aruch. Now you have a Gemara in Tzachim that mentions that fish with meat is dangerous to your health. So this is the basis why, for example, the Shabbos table, you have fish, and then you clear the fish plates and everything, and you eat something in between, and then you serve meat. In Shulchan Aruch, actually, in Shulchan, I think that Ramah brings that you're not supposed to, that you're not, I think it's the Ramah, I don't remember, maybe it's the Machaber, whatever, says that you're not supposed to cook, fish with milk, because it's not good for your health. Some of the notes that Kalim say on him, well, look at that, he mixed milk and meat. The Gemara says meat, and he wrote milk. But with that said, so there is, you know, since he said it, I don't remember if it's Machaber or that Amar wrote it. So therefore, there is a fairly widespread minhag not to cook fish and milk together. So it's one thing like to eat fish with milk products, like a bagel with cream cheese and lox or something. But to actually cook them together, people tend to be careful about that. Many people tend to be careful about that also. But there's no actual issue in it. Just because it may be bad for your health also. Based on what either the Machaber or the Ramah say. Yeah. Okay. But as far as the dinim of basa b'chalav, you're allowed to cook them together. Fish or locust. Yeah. Also, but also la halos magvina al shulchan. Also, you're not allowed to put any kind of meat on the table together with cheese. Chutz mibsad dogim chagavim, again, except for fish and locust. And the idea is, Rashi makes a point of saying the problem is that they may touch each other and absorb from each other, and then you're going to come to eat, and then you're going to come to eat them, and then you're going to come to eat them.
Therefore,
you're not supposed to put them on the table. So you have a number of mafarshim talk about why Rashi has to make a point that they actually may have touched each other. Isn't it just what about the fact that they're on the table? You may come to eat them. You may come to eat milk, and then you may come to eat meat, and later on eat milk. So one answer to that is because the whole concept that if they're not cooked together, it's also to eat one after the other, or one together with the other. That itself is only the Rambanan. We're not going to make a gzera to not put them on the table together because for a gzera to prevent you from being over on a gzera of eating milk and meat together when they're not cooked. So therefore, Rashi has to make the point of it here. If they may have absorbed from each other, where then you have a more serious, if they're hot and they touch each other and they absorb from each other, then you have a more serious issue. But there is also a good deal of discussion in the Shulchan Aruch and Beis HaKelim about that you shouldn't be putting them on the table together. Yeah, because you may come to eat them together. For that reason also, when you have two people who know each other are eating on the same table. They have to put a divider between them, or they have to eat off separate placemats or something in order that they don't forget and eat from each other. And one thing is, and one important point that we have to realize that we're going to have again and again in this parak is basar b'chalav is different than most other isurim, because when you get down to it, meat is mutter, milk is mutter, it's only the combination that's also. So therefore, it's something that people are likely to be more careless with. As opposed to, for example, if let's say you're eating on a table together with a goy who's eating today for food, fine, there's not such a big deal that you have to make a separation. Yeah, but there's less of an issue of it. You don't have to make a separation between his food and yours necessarily, because you're not going to come to eat from his food anyway. You know it. Fine, if it splashes, that's another matter. We're not talking about that. We're talking about if there's no problem of splashing or whatever. But, you know, he's eating his McDonald's hamburger. You know that's off limits to you anyway. As opposed to if you have one yid eating milk and another yid eating meat, they're likely to, Okay, so again, chutz mibsad jagum b'chagavim, except for fish and locusts. Another case where we see that fish and locusts are not considered meat, hanodim in abasar, if a person makes a neder not to eat meat, so nedarim follow loshen b'nei adam does not include fish and does not include locusts, therefore mutter mibsad jagum b'chagavim, therefore he's allowed to eat fish and he's allowed to eat locusts.
Even though it's also basar.
Because it's not something that people call basar, right? Okay, so the Gemara story. No, the Torah doesn't specifically.
The meat of the fish.
I don't know, not necessarily, but the point is in Lashon B'nai Adam, in Lashon B'nai Adam, it's not. Fine, so the Gemara starts off. Ha'ois osim d'araisa. So what are we saying in the Mishnah? Any meat you're not allowed to cook with milk, implying even meat of birds. And it sounds like it's also d'araisa, because the Mishnah is just making a blanket statement that all meat, you're not allowed to cook with milk, so you're not allowed to cook with milk. So it sounds like they're all on an equal level, d'araisa. Therefore, command the loy to Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, who does our Mishnah follow? Apparently, it's not the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The ear of Akiva, because if it was according to Rabbi Akiva, ha'amar, he says later on in our parak, chaya v'oif enim in Torah. He says that cooking the meat of wild animals and birds with milk is not also daraisa. Because he says that G only applies to domestic animals. The problem with that is, a mistake. It's not a contradiction, so fine. It's a, right. So far we can say fine. That part of the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. The problem with that is, a mistake, but look at the next part of the Mishnah. We say if somebody makes a neder, he's not going to eat meat. He is allowed to eat fish, and he is allowed to eat, and he is allowed to eat locusts. Now that part seems to be according to Rabbi Akiva. D'amar, because Rabbi Akiva says a concept in Hilchos Nedarim, kol mili demimla chalei shliach, anything which a shliach would have, if you send a shliach to go shopping, he would have to ask, do you want this or not? Is this included in the general category that you said? Bar minei, who according to Rabbi Akiva, such a thing is considered in the category.
A what?
In other words, like this. Well, here, let's learn, and we'll see what that means. The Tanya, we learn in a Braith, or just not really, it's a Mishnah in the Dorim. Hanoidim in a Yerek, suppose a person makes a neder, he's not going to eat vegetables. Mutter bedlurin, he would be allowed to eat pumpkins. Pumpkins are not considered vegetables in Loshen B'nai Adam.
What's considered vegetable?
Vegetables would be like lettuce and tomatoes and carrots. Because pumpkins are not eaten in the same way as vegetables. Vegetables you make salads of, for example. Whatever, you know, it's not eaten in the same way, it's not used in the same way. Rabbi Akiva oyster, whereas Rabbi Akiva says no, he's going to be also to eat pumpkins. Amru loy le Rabbi Akiva, so the Chachamim said to Rabbi Akiva, how can you say that pumpkins are included in the category of vegetables? You see that it happens all the time. A person says to his shliach, kach lanu yerek, or kach li yerek, go buy me some vegetables from the store. And what happens? The person might come back and say, I'm sorry, there were no vegetables. All there were pumpkins, implying that pumpkins are not vegetables. Implying that they're not vegetables. Otherwise, he would have bought them, because the guy told him buy vegetables. He didn't say whether he meant lettuce or tomatoes or cucumbers or what have you. If the guy sees on the shelf that all the vegetable bins are empty, but there are pumpkins, and he doesn't buy them, obviously, that's the point. All I found was pumpkins. Now, like this, the guy had told him, buy vegetables. So if pumpkins were vegetables, then he would have bought them, because he just told him, buy vegetables. The fact that he comes back and says, I'm sorry, there were only pumpkins, means that pumpkins are not vegetables, as far as halacha is concerned. On the land, and Rabbi Akiva says to the Chachamim, Kein Adover, that's exactly it. That very case that you're talking about is my proof that pumpkins are in the category of vegetables. Kein adover, that's exactly how it is. Klum oimer lenasasi al kidneys. After all, would the guy come back and say, all I found was beans? No, because beans are not at all in the category of vegetables. Whereas pumpkins are somewhat in the category. Ella, shadlurin b'klal yerek, v'en kidneys b'klal yerek. Obviously, what it is pumpkins are in the category of vegetables and beans are not. In other words, therefore, so he would mention all I found was pumpkins. In other words, he's asking, given that there are no other vegetables, all I could find is pumpkins, do you want me to buy them? Whereas he would never say, there are no vegetables, do you want me to buy beans? Because beans are completely in a different category. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, that's exactly the proof. You, Chachamim, are claiming that means that pumpkins are not vegetables, because otherwise he would have just bought them right offhand. But Rabbi Akiva says, yes, but the very fact that he asks, should I buy the pumpkins instead, implies that pumpkins can be considered a kind of vegetable.
And you can read the sentence both ways.
That's the point.
Can read it both ways.
That's the point. So there.
But I find instead that...
Okay, the point is, Rabbi Akiva has a concept. This is what we meant before. Kol mili demimla chalei shliach. Anything that a shliach is going to ask about it, bar mine, who is considered part of the same species. In other words, again, in this case, you said vegetables. Beans are definitely not included in vegetables. There's no question. He would never even think that beans are a possibility instead. Pumpkins are something that he could ask about. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva would consider them in the category. The Chachamim would not. So by the same logic over here, when it comes to meat, if you send somebody to the store for meat and he finds them out of meat, he might ask, okay, but they have fish and they have locusts. Should I buy those instead? And according to Rabbi Akiva, that should make it in the category. So that's the thing. So we said that if a person, so Amos, that's the thing. So we said that if a person makes a neder, he's not going to eat meat. Not fish and chagagim. No, fish and chagagim he would never ask about. But birds he would ask about. If you send somebody to the store to buy meat, he might come back and say they didn't have meat, but there's chicken. Should I buy that? According to Rabbi Akiva, that should be in the category of boser. So if the Mishnah is saying that Hanodim and Abbasar is only allowed to eat fish and locusts, that would be according to Rabbi Akiva. So the first part of the Mishnah that says Kol Abbasar Osir is not according to Rabbi Akiva, because he would say that birds and wild animals are only also Dirabanan. But the second part of the last part of the Mishnah about Hanodim and Abbasar is according to Rabbi Akiva, because birds are included in Basar according to him. So what is it? Is the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva or not?
Because Rabbi Akiva says that...
So Rabbi Akiva says that birds are considered as part of Basar, because he would ask about birds, yeah. So that's the question. Reish Rabbanon, the Sefer Rabbi Akiva, are you going to tell me that the beginning of our Mishnah is like the Rabbanon and the second part is like Rabbi Akiva? Mishnahs don't usually go that way. Rabbi Yosef says yes. Matter of fact, Rabbi, our Mishnah is not Rabbi Akiva's opinion or the Chachamim's opinion. Our Mishnah is Rabbi's opinion. Both parts of the Mishnah are, this Mishnah was composed by Rebbe, in other words, and it's his opinion, the Nosiv La Libet at Hanoi. So he picks and chooses the opinions of Hanoim that he likes, that he follows. Just like we had before about Osa versus Bnoi versus Kisi Adam, where we had in one area Rebbe held like Reb Meir, and in the other area he held like Reb Shimon.
Here
so here also, so in one area, the Nedarim Savalak Rabbi Akiva. When it comes to Nedarim, he holds like Rabbi Akiva, that anything a Shliach would ask about is in the category. Therefore, chicken is considered in the category of meat, just like pumpkins are considered in the category of vegetables. The Basa B'cholav, Savalak Rabbanon, whereas when it comes to Basa B'cholav, he holds like Rabbanon, that birds and wild animals are included in Dardai. That's one answer. Rav Ashi, I'm a cooler Rav Akiva. Rav Ashi says, no, you don't have to say that. You could say the entire Mishnah goes like Rav Akiva. But Hachikama, because when the Mishnah says Kol HaBasar, it doesn't mean to put everything under one category. Kol HaBasar, also Lavasha B'cholav, any kind of meat except for fish and locust, you're not allowed to cook with meat, but it's not necessarily all on the same level. Mehen Medivei Torah, Mehen Medivei Sekrim. Some kinds of meat, you're not allowed to cook with milk, Doraisa. And some of them, you know, let's cook the Rabbanon. So Rabbi Akiva would say only domestic animals, cows, sheep, and goats are Doraisa. Everything else, wild animals and birds, is also only the Rabbanon. But fine, call up also the Mishnah is just saying generically, it's all also without getting into the details of where the Issu comes from. except for fish and except for locusts, except for fish and locusts, where there's no isturan to cook them with milk, minatora, or midrabah. So would be a coincidence of Rabbi Akiva. And then the last part, I'm not doing a boss, it would also be like Rabbi Akiva, who says that anything the Shliach would ask about is in the category, and therefore chicken is considered, and other birds are considered in the category of meat, and therefore it all works out well. The entire Mishnah can go according to Rabbi Akiva.
The last part would work according to Rabbi Akiva?
The last part for sure works according to Rabbi Akiva. I'm not doing a boss, that he also to eat bird meat, but he's allowed to eat dog and machagavim. Only Rabbi Akiva would say that. Chacham would say boss only includes red meat. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says it also includes anything a shliach would ask about, therefore it includes birds also. And therefore, sort of Ashi is saying, the first part of the Mishnah also goes like Rabbi Akiva, because it doesn't mean that all of them are also Daraisa. It means all of them are also, some of them Daraisa and some of them Darabah.
How would the Mishnah know what's
also Darabah? The Mishnah is not getting into that yet. Later on in the Perek, we're going to get into what's also Daraisa and what's also Darabah and have the different opinions of Tanoim about it. But right now, the Mishnah is just making a general statement that you should know. Any kind of meat, anything that you buy in a butcher shop, would be also to cook with milk.